This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Lord, I just thank you so much for this time, Lord. I thank you for the privilege to be here, Father. What a privilege it was to worship, Father God, with the body of Christ here, Lord. Lord, and I thank you because we're saying you are enough, Father God. So whether I stumble through this or I'm able to clearly communicate what you placed on my heart, Lord Jesus, it doesn't matter, Father God, because you are enough, Lord. With that being said, Father, I just humbly come before you, Lord. Just help me to tap out the message that you've placed on my heart, Father God. And I pray that you may challenge me first, Lord, that it may not be about anything else, but about glorifying you, Father God. So, Lord, I just love you. I thank you for this opportunity. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so as some of you might know, in April, I guess let's start with the first slide. So first slide, today I'm gonna be talking about humility and looking specifically at Philippians 2. So in Philippians 2, there's a section we're going to read through, Philippians 2, 1 through 11, and it's called, it's been labeled Imitating the Humility of Christ. And where this really started taking kind of root in my heart was in April, I was blessed with the opportunity to go on a missions trip to Guatemala. We were in Antigua and San Pedro Zacatepeques. I think I said that right. You wouldn't know either way. Maybe Deanna or Linda. But I have a picture up here. We got to partner with a ministry called One More Child. Our church is very familiar with One More Child. We have a couple families here who have fostered through One More Child, and it's just an awesome ministry that they have ministry centers all around the world. So we got to go to their ministry center in Guatemala. And right here, this is a place where those sponsorships. So if you sponsor a child, once a month, those families come to this ministry center where they grab, they get food baskets and they take that with them. It was pretty amazing. There was some families that missed the bus and they walked 3 hours to the ministry center to get their food for the month. Not just themselves, but they came with their kids, right? Some of them, the kids were like in those slings. Kids were little. But in this ministry center, not only were they providing for their immediate needs, but they had social workers there to help them. They had school programs. Part of the ministry is that if you're going to be receiving the food baskets, your kid has to be enrolled in school. There's just a lot of great things that we got to do there. We got to pack food. They got to pray for some of these ladies and families. We got to do a little VBS thing. We were so blessed. We also got to, in this next picture, this is Pastor Joel from Iglesia Luz de Vida. He is in Zacatepeques, in the city where he planted a church right across the street from a school. And basically, it's like the only place that has like a patch of grass. They opened their doors, and I think 15 years ago, kids just started coming in to play soccer. And as they stayed, they just started sharing the gospel with these kids, and people have just been coming into this church. And so with them, we actually, with the food baskets, we got to go into some of these rural villages where we got to deliver these food baskets. We got to share the gospel. We got to pray with people. And then also, after we delivered food, we would come back to the church. In this next picture, you're going to see, this was a group of youth from the church, and we would do VBS. And we would do everything from like two-year-olds, we did ministry for moms, and we did ministry for the youth as well. And this was really cool because they had declared a national crisis. In protest to the government, they had lit 5 landfills on fire. So they deemed that the air was too toxic to like going to school and stuff. So these kids it started with one day off, and then by the time we left, I think they had the whole month off. But what was so cool is that these kids ranging from, there was like a 14-year-old, one of the guys, I think he's got food in his mouth, he was like 21. There was no school, and where they were from the moment they woke up to the moment they went to bed was they were at the church. That was, the doors were open, and that's where they were. And I remember Pastor Valkyrie, did I see him here? Yes. I asked him one day, it's like, what advice would you give me? And he said, If the house of the Lord is open, be there. And it was so encouraging because these teenagers, they had the month off from school. They could be doing so many things, but they decided to be in the house of the Lord. Then in this last picture I want to share with you, this was the first home visit we did where we delivered this food to this family. I think that room we're in, you have the metal walls, you have the dirt floors. It was maybe a little bit bigger than our youth room downstairs. That two beds, the parents slept in one, the kids slept in the other. And the little girl next to me, her name was Sandra, and she's actually born on the exact same day as Solara, and they're the exact same age. So as you can imagine, when I heard those things, that was very, very just impactful. But as you go on these mission trips, you would think, oh, obviously, this is going to be a life-changing experience. There's just no way around it, right? You're doing all these awesome stuff. But what's crazy is that I went with the school that I work for. I took a group of juniors. And there was another school from Washington State. It was a private Christian school. They also brought their own group. And we were serving in the same ministry centers at the same time. We had the same opportunities to pack food. We painted. There was so much that we did. And what's crazy is that that other group in the same exact environment did not have the same experience. By the time we left, you know, our students were just hungry for the Lord. They had shared how, one student shared how she had come into this experience trying to get as far from God as possible. But with tears in her eyes, she was explaining how close this brought her to God. Meanwhile, this other group, they left this experience, and we found out that they actually were on a, they were going to be on a banned list. They were not going to be allowed to be on any missions trips anymore with one more child. So two very different experiences. Two very different outcomes. We had the chance for the same experience, the same opportunity. The Lord was there, but yet we had two different outcomes. And as I think about what was the difference, I think about this devotional time that we had. So we had these amazing days, these awesome times of serving and worship. And by the time we got to our hotel, we were physically exhausted, but we were like emotionally and spiritually renewed. And we had these moments called our wow time. So in our wow time, we would debrief the day, right? We had these questions we would go through. So what stood out to you? You know, what would you like to improve on for the next day? Just things like that. And we also had a devotional time. And in our devotional time, we went over Philippians 2. And I really feel like the way that this group embraced Philippians 2 is what made the difference in the outcome of our trips, right? You had one group that was just ready to give it all to Christ. You had another group that was asked not to come back. So today, as I speak, I'm going to share a lot about my Guatemala experience. There's just so much from it. But essentially, as I'm talking about humility, I'm talking about how we as a group embraced humility and what are some things that, as I look back, I see allowed us to imitate the humility of Christ. So as we're going into Philippians 2, just a quick background. So Paul is speaking to Christians in the Roman colony of Philippi. Right, so if you're familiar with history, colonization isn't always the greatest thing. So you have these people that are living in a colony, but they are Christians in this colony, right? So he's speaking to Christians. That's not always the case. Sometimes the audience are speaking to Jews, sometimes speaking to Gentiles, people that don't believe in Jesus. But in this case, he's speaking specifically to Christians, to people like you and me. The theme of Philippians is a theme of encouragement, and I want to read this straight from my study Bible. It says, Paul encourages Philippians to live out their lives as citizens of a heavenly colony, as evidenced by a growing commitment to service to God and to one another. So he's encouraging them, he's lifting them up, but he's also encouraging them, right, to live like they're part of a different world, a heavenly colony, and that this will be shown in the way that they are committed to serving God and serving one another. So with that in mind, let's dive into Philippians 2, and I'm reading out of the NIV. Imitating Christ's humility. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit I did not, I'm sorry. Reading is fundamental. I'm gonna read that again. It was supposed to go together. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature, God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. I like in the ESV, he also says that it was not something that he wanted to grasp. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I'm going to go back to verse 6. Who being in very nature, God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. So as I was going back, first of all, I think you can do like weeks and weeks and weeks just on those couple of verses, but I'm not going to be able to do that. But as I was reading through this again, something that stuck out to me is this idea that if we are going to embrace Christ's humility, if we're going to imitate Christ's humility, one of the first things we have to do is we cannot chase status. We cannot chase status. And we see that in the example right here from Jesus. He came down to this earth. He took on humanity, right? He was fully God, fully man. He did not use being fully God as his advantage. He didn't grasp it. He let it go, even to the point where he died on the cross. So if we're going to imitate Christ's humility, we cannot chase status. And status is going to look very different for all of us. Right, status can be, maybe it's a promotion at your job. Maybe all of a sudden you're in a different tax bracket. Maybe, you know, you have a little bit more followers on social media. Maybe you start looking around at your job or even at your church and you realize, wait a second, I've got some seniority here. I've been here a while, right? You know, I've been here 12, 15 years. I've been here since we started. I know the old ways. But status, right, definitely plays with our hearts and it pulls us away from humility. So the first thing I would say is we cannot chase status. We cannot hold on to it, right? We cannot use it to our advantage over others. And if you read in verse 7 again, it says, Jesus did not hold on to his status or use it for his own gain, right? Paraphrasing there. But the issue is that we have convinced ourselves that if we're going to be impactful for the kingdom, we have to have status. We have convinced ourselves that we need to have a large sphere of influence. We have convinced ourselves that we need to be, you know, the CEO or the manager, or we need to be the preacher speaking in front of thousands. And I'll admit to you that I have fallen to this myself. You know, I remember at a young age, I had just told people that I wanted to get into ministry, and being in my church growing up, a lady came up to my mom and she was like, I had a vision that your son is going to preach to thousands of people and this and that. And then my mom, you know, in her excitement, shared that with me. And I, you know, I must have been like 16 or 17. And I remember just being like really excited, you know, this idea that I'm going to be this great person. As I look back, I see how that began to take me in different paths, how that motivated my thought process, how it motivated the decisions that I made. I remember having a conversation with someone at school, and we were talking about, so the school is non-denominational, so a lot of different views. So they're like, so what do you think on prophecy? And I was like, you know, I'm not going to get into that, but we talked about it, and I shared this story. And I was like, but, you know, obviously that's not true. And this teacher at the time, she was like, well, she goes, how long have you been teaching? How many people have you come in contact in your time of teaching? I remember in that moment feeling very, very foolish, right? I was so focused on the all eyes on me attention thing, not realizing that God had been using my time as a lowly teacher to just hopefully have an impact on students. But I think that's what it does, right? We want status. We live in a society where we chase status. And we live in a country where you can be Christian and have status, right? it's not, you know, when we look at history, we're not really persecuted like we look at the at historically, even in other places, right? There's tons of Christian books in the New York Times bestseller. There's tons of preachers who have millions of followers. So we look for it. We want it, right? It begins to impact the way that we treat others. And I will say this, I think a lot of times status is going to come, right? You're going to get the promotion. You're going to, you know, be the oldest in your friend group or have the most kids or all these things. You're going to get status. You're going to have people that are going to look up to you. And that's okay. But what happens is that when we start trying to hold on to that status or lord it over others, usually it comes at a cost. And it's going to come at a cost of relationships. Relationship with God and relationships with those around us. So I would say if and when you achieve status, do not hold on to it so tightly that we keep it at the expense of relationships. And I think about we're one of the students at towards the end of our time there, he was just sharing how, man, at no point did I feel like I was here with counselors and parents. Because all the people that were there embraced the humility of Christ. We let go of our status. And there wasn't this weird like, oh, you know, we're friends with high schoolers. There was still this respect and honor there. But there was this unity that was brought upon by humility that really allowed us together as brothers and sisters in Christ to just serve and love and allow the Lord to work in our hearts. So as I look back at my time in Guatemala and I start thinking about like, how what happened? What was different from our group from their group? So as we were going through Philippians 2, I think there was three things that stood out in our wow time together. The first one was vulnerability. So in our devotion time, right, there was the first day we were talking about, what were your expectations? And there was a mom that was there, very successful mom here locally, owns very successful businesses in town. And she was like, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't want to be here. My son dragged me. And I'm just like, I don't want to be gone for 8 days. It's going to be hot and boring. I'm not going to have fun. You know, this is just, I don't want to be here. And when I looked around the circle, all of a sudden, every single person just like took a sigh of relief, like, oh. In her vulnerability, right, she spoke to a lot of feelings that people around her were feeling. And what that did, I heard there was, This leader once, Harvey, he was speaking and he said, openness elicits openness, right? So in her vulnerability, she created a safe space for everyone else to also be vulnerable. And it's very difficult for pride to take place in your heart when you're being open and honest about your feelings, especially the ones that might not be what we feel are the right ones, right? As the parent, you wouldn't think that the kids are probably thinking, oh, these parents are ready. They're, you know, they want to be here. Right, but when you're sharing these feelings, right, it just created a totally different environment. And we see in scripture the power of confession, right? In James 5:16, I'm going to paraphrase, but it talks about the confessing of sins one to another. And what does that do? It says that brings healing. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it talks about boasting in your weakness and you're made strong. So we see it in scripture all the time that in confession, there is healing. The Lord uses it for his glory. But a lot of times we want to do the opposite. We don't want to be vulnerable with what we're feeling or what we're going through, right? A lot of things, you know, shame, status. We're afraid that if we embrace vulnerability, we might lose our status. And I'm blessed by our leaders at this church, starting with Pastor Mario, just someone who has embraced vulnerability here from the pulpit and what I just seen what that's done in my heart and in all of our hearts. So we see that in scripture. So I think about the practice of vulnerability, right? And realizing that as we practice it, right, it's going to create a space for others to be open. And I think that as we are open, it's also going to put to death that pride that wants to take hold in our heart. After vulnerability, I noticed that naturally came accountability. So as kids were sharing their struggles, as parents and chaperones were sharing their struggles, all of a sudden we knew what everyone was going through, and there just came this natural accountability from, because now we've created this space as we're taking on the humility of Christ where everyone feels safe and encouraged to be themselves. So I remember one student sharing, you know, I was really intimidated. You know, I was asked to pray and I didn't want to pray. And all of a sudden she felt shame. And in that moment there was, you know, when she came out and shared that in front of us, which I don't think she would have shared it if not for that parent being open and honest ahead of time, right? They're now, she's sharing this struggle that she had. And the next day, another student, as we're going into this house, she reaches over, she says, hey, we're gonna go in there. They're gonna ask us to pray. You know, before I volunteer, would you like to pray? You know, would you like the opportunity? And a student said, no, not yet. It's okay. Right, but there was a humility that came from that, right? There was accountability, right? Like I saw that you have a heart that you wanted to pray, but you didn't do it, right? So she came alongside her. Then on the last day, again, same student reached out. I said, would you like to pray? I said, yeah, I'm ready to pray. And what was super cool is that she prayed in that moment when we went back to our wow time after this time of vulnerability and this time of accountability. Then came this time of celebration, right, where we celebrated what the Lord had done in this young lady's life, who went from being afraid, then feeling shame, then being encouraged, and then walking in obedience. And we saw that time and time and time again. There was these stories of you know, people wanting to do certain things. They felt led by the Spirit, but not doing it. And then they ended up doing it, and just how the accountability is how God used those moments. So vulnerability created accountability. And when we were in a place of vulnerability and accountability, what really helped us as well was living in this attitude of service. So if we go back to Philippians 2, and you don't have to switch, I'll read it here. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. We are constantly looking at our own interests. We are constantly looking at our little circle, right? We're looking at our home, at ourselves. But when you're in a space of vulnerability, when you're in a space of accountability, and when you enter into spaces of service, it does a beautiful thing in our hearts. And what was amazing is that the more we served and the more we gave, the more the Lord filled us. The more tired we got, the more he lifted us, right? It says he would lift us on wings like eagles. And we didn't serve because we wanted to be filled. We served because we wanted to love. We wanted to imitate Christ's humility. But in doing that, right, there's this circle that comes around. And I think about the church in Acts 2, right? How they served others and they gave to others for no other reasons than just to love their brother and their sister. And what happened was is that that person's needs were met. And then that person can meet someone else's needs. And then when it was my turn, someone would step up and meet my need, right? Because there was this attitude of service through humility. So we embraced vulnerability, we embraced accountability, and we embraced service. And the reason I share this is because I feel like, you can go to the next slide, I feel like this is one of those things that I consistently struggle with, right? Because like I said, even when I'm not chasing status, something happens and I get status, right? So in my new job, I'm no longer a teacher, I'm not an administrator. So now for sure I got some status, okay? And now I'm you know, we're gonna be married for 14 years. So now I've got some status, you know. I've been asked to be a junior elder, you know, I've got some status. So there's these things that are constantly happening in my life that want to pull me away from Christ's humility. And if I'm not careful, I know that I easily go into that prideful state. And I think, you know, this last point that I'm making is that when we imitate the humility of Christ, it gives us the opportunity to enter the brokenness of this world, and I think this is the most important part, and bring life. When we imitate the humility of Christ, it gives us the opportunity to enter the brokenness of this world and bring life. And we can do that because Jesus did it first. He entered into our brokenness. He entered into our filth, right? And it says it time and time again throughout Scripture, He lifts us up out of the muck and mire, it says in Psalms. He enters into that brokenness and brings life. And I think what happens is that too many times we try to enter into brokenness pridefully, and we try to enter into brokenness pridefully in the name of Jesus. And that is where the opposite happens. That doesn't bring life. That brings death. That brings destruction. That brings shame. That brings guilt. Right, there's been too many people who have tried to enter into the brokenness and messiness of this world, or brokenness and messiness of the people around them, pridefully, all while doing it in the name of Jesus. And what do we see? We see a wake of destruction. We see hurt. We see pain. We see trauma. But when we imitate the humility of Christ, it gives us the opportunity to enter into the brokenness in this world and bring life. And it's not life that I bring, it's life that Jesus brings. Jesus brings in the gospel. So vulnerability, accountability, and service. And I pray that as we imitate Christ's humility, as we take it on, even to the point where Jesus suffered death on the cross, I pray that we may do so to bring glory to Jesus and to bring life, to bring gospel life into the brokenness of our world. Lord, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you, Father God, because you entered our world, Father God. You entered our space, Lord Jesus. You experienced hunger, you experienced shame, you experienced grief, you experienced joy, love, persecution. You experienced so much, Father God, all to just be the perfect high priest, Lord Jesus, to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, Lord. Lord, forgive me for the moments that I try to enter into brokenness pridefully, Father God, thinking that I've arrived, thinking that I am the answer, Lord Jesus. Lord, in the moments that I've done that, Father God, if I've left a wake of destruction, Lord Jesus, I pray, Father God, that you may bring wholeness to those areas, that you may fix, Lord, what I ruined in my own pride, Lord. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you may just help us, Father God, to walk in your humility, Father. Not some false humility, but imitate the humility that you walked out when you came into this world, Father God, and gave it all for us, Lord. Lord, help us in our vulnerability, Lord Jesus, as the body of Christ, to be accountable, Father God, to encourage each other. Help us to celebrate each other, Lord Jesus. And Lord, give us hearts to serve those around us, Father God, for your glory, Lord Jesus, that we may enter the different spaces in our life, Lord, and bring your life, bring your light, bring your mercy, bring your grace, Lord, Father God. All right, just thank you for this time. In your holy name I pray, amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.